You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
International Desk are go.
This week, COP30, the world's main annual climate summit, has continued in the Amazonian city of Belém, Brazil. The talks have been marked by calls from more than 80 countries to create a roadmap to phase out fossil fuels. This is despite top officials from the United States not being present at the conference and the nation's prevalent anti-climate politics. COP30 also marks a new push from Indigenous voices to be elevated at the summit, with the largest Indigenous participation in any COP in history, an estimated 3,000 people, with 1,000 participating in negotiations. Tens of thousands of people also protested outside COP30 last week in the first large-scale protest at a United Nations climate summit in years. I spoke with Vera Packey, Youth Engagement Coordinator at Save the Children New Zealand, who was on the ground at COP. I started by asking if she could discuss what the atmosphere is like.
Yeah, absolutely. The atmosphere at COP30 is definitely vibrant. It definitely reflects the environment that we're in Brazil. It is loud in a great way. We're having lots of really big conversations. There's lots of music. And I think the running theme is just lots and lots of footsteps, people running from place to place because there's so many eager discussions and conversations and protests to be had on the ground.
What are the key themes that are emerging from this COP?
I mean, broadly, there are always these big talks specifically about climate finance. So what are countries that are in the OECD world doing to mitigate their impacts and to recognize the fact that lower-income countries are not delivering the level of impact, but are still receiving the most amount of adverse climate effects, and what it looks like to justly rectify those indiscretions. The discussions that we're participating in that specifically look at child and youth engagement and participation. So we understand that children and young people are disproportionately impacted by the climate crisis, and what does it mean for those rights to be recognized, not only in conversation, but in policy and finance and planning. And then, of course, the backdrop of Indigenous partnerships and Indigenous engagement overall. We have seen protests by the Indigenous people here in Belém that spoke to really show the fact that even though many of us are descending from very faraway lands, the level of engagement with their own local Indigenous people leaves much to be desired. So those are the really big things that I'm seeing from my end.
You've just come from an action led by Save the Children. Can you talk about the purpose of this?
So Save the Children International have come together and pulled our delegations present at COP into an action really focused on children's rights and what it looks like to have children and youth voice integrated into the COP negotiating process. We understand that children and young people have a limited amount of influence and power in this landscape. So what we want to do is really bring their voices and their stories to the forefront of our COP negotiators to ensure that they are not forgotten. We know in the case of New Zealand, even though we have seen in our COP negotiating manual that our negotiators operate from a rights-based framework, that children and young people are not specifically listed as those rights holders. So you really want to make it clear that children and young people are a vulnerable population to be protected, specifically in the climate space.
Can you talk about what it's like to be a young person at COP?
It's a very interesting dichotomy to be a young person at COP. I'm really grateful for the fact that I am a part of the Party Overflow, so I have access to the Blue Zone, which is where most of the decision-making practice takes place. But what you recognize is the minute that you're in the Blue Zone, there are also 40 other thousand people in the Blue Zone, not a lot of young people. And you really recognize that it is a global conversation. Coming from New Zealand, I feel that we are in such a lucky position where we can almost casually engage some of our policy leaders. But coming into this space, you really recognize the weight of some of these conversations and the significance of having those face-to-face interactions. It's really remarkable to meet with other young climate activists from across the world and hear their stories and what it's like for their communities who are in their own way struggling with frontline climate issues and what they're trying to do to really raise that awareness and engage with their policy influencers. So as a young person, there's a lot to be desired because you walk into the space and you don't see a lot of people that look like you, and you understand that you have a limited amount of power. But in the other hand, whenever you get to connect with other young people who are doing similar work in the space, there is a sense of hope and a sense of urgency. We're all working to make sure that our communities don't just survive, they thrive through this climate crisis. So mixed emotions, but overall, it's a really dynamic experience.
How important are the conversations that are currently being had?
The conversations being had are absolutely paramount. We recognize that even though there's much criticism, rightfully so, about the types of conversation and their frequency and their intensity, this is the highest point of climate decision making in the world. They are deeply, deeply important. The fact that you can come here and really raise some of these not only key issues across the pavilions, across these different zones, and hear what the types of bilateral negotiations that are happening at the highest level, the key priorities that are coming from governments at the highest level, and the fact that you can kind of have those ideas of what they deem are important, absolutely critical.
And have you learned anything about how Aotearoa is being perceived at this COP?
Yes, Aotearoa always has this really interesting reputation internationally. It's always a privilege to connect with our Indigenous communities across the world. So at this COP, we have our Indigenous Peoples Pavilion, and I want to take a moment to really highlight the work of Te Whahu Kōpere, which is the Rangatahi Māori delegation who were here the week before us as a part of the National Iwi Chairs Forum. And their work in that space has been absolutely remarkable. And that kind of continues outwards into the Moana Blue Pacific Pavilion and then a little bit into the Australia Pavilion. There is a recognition of the fact that our people are doing immaculate work, that our Indigenous people are leading innovation. And we were really lucky to host the UN Adaptation Futures Conference in Christchurch in October. So already there is this understanding in New Zealand being a leader of having the capacity to really innovate in this space, which I think kind of leads on to some of the frustrations that we're seeing at a national level at the legislation changes that we are experiencing over the past couple of weeks. Because we understand that we have this huge capacity for growth and innovation, and that's understood globally, and we are really respected for that, but it's not resonating at a policy level. So it is always warm. We always get a really lovely and warm reception when people see Aotearoa New Zealand, but I think they also want more for us as well, like we do.
Is there anything else you would want people to know, particularly young people who might be listening, about COP?
Yeah, COP is an amazing, wonderful experience, but you don't need to be at COP to make a meaningful difference. This is one part of the puzzle when it comes to climate activism and advocacy, but everything that we do, especially at a local level, plays into all of the work that happens here. It's not just being in Belém, Brazil that makes that work worth it. What we do in our schools, on marae, with our whānau, our friends, in university spaces, in your workplaces, all of those different areas of work matter deeply to the work that we're doing to alleviate the climate crisis. Another thing that I would say is that you are incredibly qualified as young people to speak on your own experience. Like I said earlier, children and young people are disproportionately impacted by the climate crisis, even more so if you are located in the South Pacific. Anything you have to say about that lived experience is incredibly valid, exists without any additional qualification, and deserves to be heard. So don't feel as though that you have to get 10,000 different degrees before you can speak on your experience here. What you have to say matters right now.
That was Vera Packey, Youth Engagement Coordinator at Save the Children New Zealand, on her experience on the ground at COP30 in Brazil.
International Desk on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.